Well, good evening, everyone. It is Sunday night, June 7th, 2020. Wow, 9:24. 9:24. Why does that number sound familiar? 9:24 p.m. here on the Northeast. Love it when pay-per-views end this early. This is your NXT TakeOver In Your House pay-per-view recap. I am Don Tony, as always, and originally this was going to be a solo show, but at the 8 o'clock hour, you know, I talked to my co-host, and we decided let's do a joint effort. Not only do we get a more thorough pay-per-view discussion tonight, but we don't have to get into it tomorrow, which means tomorrow could be a little bit, you know, end the show a little earlier. Don Tony could get a little bit of shut-eye. So I am joined along with me tonight.
Kev Castle, what's up, DT?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. NXT TakeOver in the books. A very manageable 2 hours, 20 minutes. You know, this is not the new norm, but under the circumstances, you know, cutting it down a little bit is not a bad thing. I don't know anybody out there that would have said, you know what, it's only going to be a 2.5 hour pay-per-view, so I ain't ordering it. It's got to be 3 or 4 hours or nothing. You know, granted, the NXT roster is smaller than the WWE roster, but I tell you, man, I thoroughly enjoyed this pay-per-view. What'd you think of it?
I enjoyed it. It was, and again, I can get on board with these earlier endings. You know, a nice compacted pay-per-view, not too short, not too long. And overall, I enjoyed it. I'm sure we'll break it down from start to finish, but I enjoyed it.
I tell you, my pay-per-view predictions, it was only 6 matches. I don't recall if my 6-woman tag match was for the baby faces to win. I think I predicted the baby faces to win, but I thought Raquel Gonzalez also needed to be put back on some momentum. I got a kick out of her tribute tonight to China, if you look at her outfit. Yeah, but out of all of the other matches, only one I predicted wrong. Would you like to know which match that was? I'm sure some people out there may not be happy with this.
Which one?
I honestly thought thoroughly every match, thinking what are the likely outcomes. And as far as the Karrion Kross Tommaso Ciampa match, I honestly felt that Ciampa has been in a little bit of a lull. Karrion Kross, you don't want him to lose this early on, especially since he's got a lot of momentum and you feel like Triple H is kind of putting the rocket ship on his back. So I thought, hey, you know what? Karrion Kross puts one of those chokeholds on Ciampa. He doesn't break the hold. They're tangled up maybe in the ropes. Referee goes for a break. Kross says, basically, fuck you. I ain't breaking nothing. He gets disqualified. So Ciampa gets the win, but Kross also doesn't lose any momentum because he got DQ'd. Man, was I wrong, because, you know, on May 6th, when he debuted on NXT, I said, you know, one tweet, two debuts, three words. Fucking awesome, bravo. So I revisited the May 6th tweet tonight. One tweet, two NXT pay-per-views, and 3 words. And my 3 words tonight was doomsday for daddy. Because daddy's home, but he got dominated from Killer Kross, Karrion Kross. Force of habit. So I was pleasantly surprised that they went with that. The big question now is, where does this go with Tommaso Ciampa? It feels like, you know, there's a big lull going on right now.
Yeah, because he loses the last, obviously lost to Gargano the match before, the big match that he had, you know, close out that feud forever, according to Triple H, the last match between them ever. And now he loses to the hottest newcomer, Killer Kross. And, you know, props to Ciampa for doing that and putting him over and helping Kross, you know, get to where he needs to go, because, you know, he came in against one of the biggest legends in NXT, probably an NXT lifer. Ciampa has made it clear he doesn't want to go to the main roster. He might be there for life, literally, at his own calling. But I don't know where he goes from here, DT. I don't know. I don't know.
Does anybody see this here? I'm sorry for changing the subject from that. I don't know if anybody could see this here. But tonight, my sushi place in my neighborhood opened up for the first time in 3 months. So I bought my fiance a whole bunch of sushi, and I really didn't want anything. So I said, you know what? Let me just get like a bottle of club soda, bottle of salsa. And I open it, and it looks like water. There's no bubbles at all. Not even a single bubble. I'm looking at the expiration date on it, and it's fucking May 2002. May 9th, 2002. They fucking sold me 18-year-old seltzer. I'm not kidding. Look, does anybody see bubbles? Oh, what the hell?
It's not going to taste good. I one time got ginger ale from 9 years back.
So oh, this is horrendous, man. Look at that. That's terrible. I don't want to out the sushi place. They just gave me. Yeah, and it was funny. I swear on God, I could call my fiance in here right now. I ordered 2 bottles of salsa, and they called me up and said, we only have one. I said, all right, just give me the one. Give the other one a ginger ale for her or whatever. They gave me 18-year-old salsa.
Well, they only had one.
Oh, man.
Is it vintage?
I don't know, but I'm serious. I put the label right on there. Look, I can't. Look, I know people could Photoshop and edit stuff, and I'm good at Photoshopping. There ain't no way that I could fucking Photoshop on a soda bottle. 2002, May 9th, 2002. God. Oh, my God. Shit. Hey, but you know what? Got to give myself a little credit. When I was doing the pay-per-view predictions Friday, when it came to the women's title match, Io Shirai was my pick, and I just kept thinking back. Rhea Ripley, I didn't think there was any chance. She's not, no momentum right now. That'll change. No rush with her. But I just kept thinking, you know, Charlotte, there's rumors. You know, you see the goofs online. Io Shirai to SmackDown. Velveteen Dream to Raw. Santa Claus to blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's like, it gets creeps into your head, and you start thinking, you know, I got to go with Io Shirai, but, you know, I just can't help but to think, you know, Charlotte, maybe she retains, but then I want to see Charlotte feud with Bianca Belair. That'd be a nice, you know, change of pace on Raw, but they gave it to Io Shirai. They had the streamers in the end. The match, I don't think, was as strong as people were hyping it up to be. But it was a great match nonetheless. I honestly don't think there was a bad match tonight at all.
No, I think, you know, we'll break it down. But I probably the opening match was the one that was a little bit of a lull for me. But we can discuss that.
Yeah. By the way, for those who are checking out video right now, that is a picture of the old WWE In Your House that used to air back in the 90s. And this is a picture of tonight's set. You know, not the exact copy, but I'll be honest with you. I love this. I love the neon colors. It reminded me of some old clubs I used to go to in the 90s with the blue lighting and the pink and the Miami Vice kind of colors. And we also got another cameo tonight by Todd Pettengill, which is always a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it was cool to see him, and it's unbelievable. 25 years ago, it's one of those things that you literally do remember as yesterday. He looks a little older, but pretty much the same.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this much. I'm not trying to nitpick tonight or anything, but when he was trying to plug the NXT merchandise, and I guess the phone numbers are no longer valid. Was it just me, or did he turn around and say that, oh, there's no 900 numbers anymore? I don't recall having to call a 900 number to, to buy WWF merchandise. Wasn't it that we had to dial like an 800 number, not a 900 number? I mean, 900 number was the hotline, unless maybe I misconstrued what he was saying earlier.
No, I think it was 800 number. I mean, he used to, wasn't it like Sonny would wear the shirt and then he'd plug it? Or
absolutely.
I mean, I remember that. Gosh, 25 years ago, Jesus. But I think it was an 800 number. Then there was a 900 number, but I don't know who did the hotline back then for WWE.
Doc Hendricks?
Was it Vic Venom or was it?
No, I think Doc Hendricks did the hotline back
Doc
then.
Hendricks. Yeah, it was Michael Hayes. Right,
Michael P.S. Hayes, I think, used to do it. There was somebody else that used to do it as well. I'm drawing a blank right now. CC Titans fan, much love, my friend. What's going on? Anybody out in the chat remember who used to do it? Yeah, no, I know. I don't think the videos of Pettengill tonight were live, so I'm surprised why they didn't just do a redo, because you didn't call a 900 number to
Kevin,
buy merch.
Kevin Kelly, DT? Kevin Kelly?
You know what? Kevin Kelly, possible. I remember when they did, and I talked about it on my history show last year. I remember they were doing like some internet shows right after Raw, or maybe right before Raw. I can't remember the name of it right now, but I know Doc Hendricks definitely was doing, because I remember
people
that
were
back
saying,
in the day.
Kevin Kelly did it towards after Doc Hendricks. People,
yeah,
saying,
no, but not as far as like In Your House and stuff
Okay.
There was an internet show that they used to do on Real Media and Real Player. I know Kevin Kelly was involved with that. I'm not sure with 900 numbers though. Maybe it was, but I definitely remember Doc Hendricks. Hey, and even tonight, you know, we had a little bit of a cameo of Doc Hendricks, because Gargano, right before his match, he's walking down the hallway. He sees a picture of Doc Hendricks.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, puts the key in his pants, you know, his tights. You know, the key to the win didn't actually go his way. But I tell you, man, I really enjoyed the retro set. You know, when you look at stuff like that, it definitely does not cost a hell of a lot of money to put that together. Oh. Especially when you don't even need to worry about pyro all that much. And, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, a little bit of creativity, a little bit of nostalgia goes an awfully long way. Because for tonight, you know, and you know what? I have to say this too. Because 2 weeks ago, when WWE brought back fans, quote unquote, I criticized it. I was happy. It's better than nothing. But the one criticism I had was, good guy, cheer. Bad guy, boo. But I'm a heel on NXT. Good guy, cheer. Bad guy, boo. And it just was too choreographed. Tonight, you had This Is Awesome chants. You had kind of spoofing John Cena when they would say, John Cena sucks, Gargano sucks, Gargano. So tonight, there was a lot more creative chants that WWE allowed, and it was a little bit more against the grain. Tonight, by far, my favorite holy shit chants tonight. They really allowed it to be more organic. And I tell you, from beginning to end, man, you know, the last AEW pay-per-view, Double or Nothing, I enjoyed tremendously. From start to finish, I think I enjoyed this more. Double or Nothing for me was really two matches, maybe three at the most, that I really enjoyed. Yeah. This, you know, from beginning to end, felt pretty solid. But let's get into it, shall we? First opening match tonight, we had 6-woman tag match. Tegan Nox, Shotzi Blackheart, and Mia Yim versus Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, and Raquel Gonzalez. And as I said earlier, you know, Raquel Gonzalez, it looked like a little bit of a tribute to China. Even Beth Phoenix, you know, gave Raquel Gonzalez a little bit of a shout out for her color scheme tonight. Without saying China, I think that's what Beth Phoenix was talking about. But, you know, it was a decent match. As much as I praise AEW, I think NXT shows tonight that, sure, Hikaru Shida and others, you know, in AEW are not all that bad. Shida's probably the number one woman on the roster. But when you look down the line of all the women in NXT, I've said this before, I could arguably say the NXT women's roster is the number one roster of women's wrestling in the United States. And believe it or not, if they get a little bit more momentum, you know who I would put number two?
Oh.
Impact.
Yeah, I was going to say Impact is pretty stacked too.
Yeah. If anybody out there just takes a little time and looks at the Impact Wrestling women's roster, they quietly are really putting it together nicely. Now, they got to ink some people to some pretty nice contracts, which I don't know is going to happen. But the NXT women, you know, it gets a little sloppy at times, no doubt. But overall, you know, I enjoyed this match. Nox, Blackheart, and Mia Yim get the win. A little surprising to me.
I think Gonzalez is a little needs much more seasoning. I mean, look, it's an NXT pay per view. It's not the main roster. She her timing's a little off. She's probably not where she needs to be, but hopefully she'll get better. It was Shotzi Blackheart was in a lot of the match tonight. She's pretty good. Getting to see a lot more of her now. And it was good to see Tegan Nox get a win. Tegan Nox always seems to be the fall girl in everything. Yeah. So she finally gets a pin over her nemesis, Dakota Kai.
Yeah.
So I was happy to see Tegan Nox get a pinfall because I haven't seen Tegan Nox win a high-profile match in a long time.
Yeah. Benjamin, thank you. Beth Phoenix actually did reference the ninth woman of the world, so that was really cool. So, you know, when I saw her outfit, you know, I immediately and the reason why I had the immediate flashback was because I was looking at the old In Your House set tonight and some of the matches that were coming up with matches of Hunter Hearst Helmsley with Chyna in his corner, and you know, her usually wearing a black outfit. I don't know. I enjoyed the match. You know, it was a little sloppy at times. If you really want to nitpick, you know, I didn't like, you know, Candice LeRae, like, you know, like kind of like rushing to the side of the ring so she could get the shot, yeah. You know, from Shotzi Blackheart, you know, while she's hanging over the ring and, you know, people doing the dives and everybody setting themselves up, you know, which that's probably my number one pet peeve with wrestling in general. You know, the dives off the top rope tonight off the house, you know, which we'll get into later. But, you know, that camera work has got to be better. You have multiple cameras, especially that this was recorded. Why put the camera on the people who are setting themselves up to catch the dive? That's probably my number one pet peeve right now in watching wrestling on TV. Even towards the end of the match, Raquel Gonzalez was going for a pin. I don't know if it was on Shotzi, but Mia Yim broke up the pin, and she totally, from what I saw, totally missed Raquel Gonzalez. You know, somebody usually jumps in the ring and lands on the person just to break up the pin. She just like totally just like missed my vantage point, and they still stopped the pin, which, you know, again, not a big deal, but I enjoyed the match. Tegan, and you know what, like you said, Tegan Nox not only getting the win, but she actually, you know, gets the shiniest wizard on Dakota Kai. So not only does she get the win, but she gets the pin as well.
Yeah, again, good end result. A little sloppy, even Shotzi Blackheart was missing some spots there. But, again, no big deal for what it was. It was good, and a good ending, you know, getting the win for Tegan Nox.
Yeah. We also had tonight a couple of commercials for the – and these actually are on sale right now, everyone. We've talked about it before. WWE has their new version of the ice cream bars. I know a few people who have had it, and they said that, you know, they're not very good. To be honest with you, it is kind of funny watching teenagers say, oh, I ate the old ones from the 80s, and those blew away these. And I'm like, your parents didn't even fuck each other yet back in the 80s. And you're talking about, what'd you do, buy it from eBay, and it was 15 years? Would you buy it? Maybe you bought it from the sushi place from tonight. I can't even, I was so looking forward to this little bottle of Canada Dry club soda. I didn't have any in my house, and I was going to have it early, and I was like, nah, I'll wait for the show, and if I have to burp, I'll mute it, and go figure, 18-year-old salsa. But, you know, the ice cream bars, look, it's ice cream, it's two cookies, you know, it's...
What's the difference, Ray? Was the old one that good? I remember buying them at the Garden with Draper in the late 80s. I just remember buying them for the sake of buying them. I don't remember it being like this delicious thing.
I know.
It was a regular ice cream bar. I don't recall it being, you know, there's distinct ice cream. You can tell the difference between Haagen-Dazs and Good Humor. But what would really be the difference? And aren't you really buying it for the branding?
I bought it mostly from the ice cream truck back in the day. I would go around. It was either a snow cone when I was a kid or the WWF ice cream bars. No. It was funny sometimes with my friends when we were young going for the ice cream bars, and they would not have like your favorite wrestler. I don't remember if they had a Coco Beware ice cream bar.
They did. There was a Coco Beware.
There was a Coco. That's right. For some reason, and you know, I don't, please everybody, it's not a black or a white thing. It's just, you know, ice cream. But I remember back in the day, someone would be like, I want a Bret Hart bar. And, no, we have Coco Beware. Ah, I'm not going to eat that. You know, it was the same ice cream. It was the same cookie. It was the only thing was is that, and even the outline of the wrestler didn't even look like them at all, you know. Yeah. But it was just funny how some people out there, unless they were eating their favorite wrestler, they would pass up the ice cream bar completely. So, you know, and speaking of race tonight, you know, much love to Keith Lee, because Keith Lee tonight, for those that did not see the pay-per-view, you know, he came out not only with a vest on the back that says Black Lives Matter, which I'm showing right now, but he had it on the tights as well. And, you know, I thought that was a nice gesture. I mean, you know, this isn't the first time that he is, you know, spoke out with support, but to do that tonight, I just thought was a nice thing. And, you know, even before the shows that, you know, I've been putting online for the last week, I always put up a graphic of George Floyd and Nelson Mandela with a quote, just to give a little bit of a, you know, just a message to everyone that, you know, it's not hard to just, you know, try to treat others with respect and love. And, you know, just a reminder, it's not trying to shove a certain race in other people's face. It's pride, it's strength, it's support. It's to show that everybody is out there, you know, just trying to care. And it blows me away to see people out there that get angered at that. That's the thing I'll never understand. But getting back to, you know, the ice cream commercial, you know, they're out. They're made by Good Humor. You know, they put them out, yeah. So it's not like WWE's famous recipe. So, you know, it's a cheap ice cream. It's cheap.
Who's on the, I saw Macho Man, Becky Lynch.
And Macho Man, Becky Lynch, John Cena, Roman Reigns was the ones that we saw tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the ones that we saw tonight. I could put a better one in. Yeah, there's a better version. That's Reigns, Cena, Lynch, and Macho Man. Ooh, yeah.
Oh, Macho Man's the only retro one.
Basically. Yeah, you know, I don't know if they're going to come out with others, but, you know, they obviously need to see if they sell. I mean, now we're approaching the summertime, so they'll probably sell, you know, better than they have before. But they are available in many supermarkets.
Oh, they will be available in...
They're already on sale in a lot of areas. Oh,
I got to try.
Yeah, for several months now.
I'm going to go see if they're at the Food Universe.
Yeah. So we now go to Finn Balor versus Damian Priest. I tell you, watching Damian Priest come up the ranks of the NXT roster, yeah. I thought tonight, even by losing, I think he won. The guy, this was my favorite match to date with Damian Priest. You know, there was some bumps in this match that were pretty fucking stiff. That one where he went off the top of the apron outside back first onto the ring steps. Maybe that didn't hurt all that much, but that shit looked like it hurt. You know, and maybe it didn't hurt, you know, as much as it appeared, but the guy just put in a phenomenal effort, and it was great to see Damian Priest actually hang with someone like Finn Balor, which, you know, put it this way, the one thing that I loved about this match tonight is sometimes Finn Balor has to go down a level in order for someone to keep up. Tonight, it felt like Damian Priest upped himself a level to hang with Finn Balor, not the opposite. And Damian Priest, man, they really need to, you know, bring this guy to an even bigger level now. So even though he lost tonight, I think it was a big gain for him. In storyline, I think Finn Balor needed to get a little revenge on Damian Priest after all the shots, you know, with the foreign objects and everything. But what'd you think of that match?
Well, I like Damian Priest, and I said a while ago, he reminds me of a New Day, not New Day as in the character's New Day, a modern-day version of Razor Ramon. Not for what you think or why you think, but just the kind of his swagger, the arrogance, the voice, the way he carries himself. And Mauro Ranallo mentioned Scott Hall and Razor Ramon on the broadcast. Again, I'm not the only one seeing it. And that's a good thing. You know, you don't see too many people compared to Scott Hall or Razor Ramon. You always hear the next Ultimate Warrior, the next Brock Lesnar. Scott Hall's a little bit of a different take, and Scott Hall was a good, you know, in-ring competitor, a good character. So if that's what he's going to emulate a little bit, a little more of a modern twist on it. He's actually Latino, where Scott Hall was not. So I enjoy his work. I like he's got a good voice. I liked him when he was Punishment Martinez in Ring of Honor, even though he wasn't a top guy. I thought the guy had something. He's a New Yorker. He's a, you know, he's a native New Yorker. I can get behind someone like that. And you know, he's got the height, he's got the look, the interview. So he's one of those guys like Riddle and Cross. Like, this is the future of this company. If these guys stay injury free, he's one of those guys. Like, if we can name 3 to 5 guys who Keith Lee, who we could put the gas behind, he's one of them. And losing tonight, I think it would have been good if Balor put him over, but I can understand you can't have Balor and Ciampa, two of the top guys there, NXT legends, lose to upcomers. It wouldn't probably go well. So they had to go with Cross getting the win tonight. They weren't going to put the win on Priest. Yeah, Priest, but I was going to call him Martinez. And but you're right, he doesn't really lose anything, but it would have been nice to see him win. Because so far, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, has Damian Priest won a match in any of these takeovers yet? He's been on 4, I think. And I think he's 0-4. If anybody's, you know, a lot of you guys keep track and records, isn't Damian Priest or someone in your chat or the Discord or YouTube chat, has Damian Priest won a takeover match yet?
I think
he's, but you're right, DT. It's not going to kill him. It's not, they're not burying him. He's not buried. He lost to Finn Balor, one of the all-time legends of NXT. Balor still in his prime, not some old, you know, 45, 50-year-old guy hanging on. Balor is still in his day. So yeah, it doesn't really, and the match itself was good, but if the future, you put him, when you talk about Cross, Keith Lee, guys like that, Matt Riddle, you put Damian Priest in that top 5, in my opinion, for future faces of this company.
I purposely waited to bring something up about the pay-per-view tonight until now. I thought for a minute tonight that Damian Priest was multi-talented, and maybe there was a talent that I wasn't aware of, but they had In Your House open up tonight with that group, Code Orange, which I called, and my incorrect spelling was actually intended. You know, back in the, I guess, what was it, the early 90s, we had Milli Vanilli. I called that group Milli Vanilla tonight because it was like Milli, some woman, and vanilla stuff. And I swear to God, that's whoever was performing tonight. I thought that was Damian Priest on the mic. I'm watching this, and I see the guy up close. First of all, he's Milli Vanilla because he can't fucking lip sync for shit. And then they say that they were Grammy Award winners, and I was like, what were they nominated for? Like, worst fucking song? And the winner is Code Orange! But, I mean, if you go back and you look at the beginning tonight, you look at that singing. That guy singing on a mic looked exactly like Damian Priest. I honestly thought.
A lot smaller, yeah.
Well, we only saw his head, so I really couldn't tell.
Well, I know the band.
Yeah, well, you know the band. I never did. All I saw was his head. And you know, it sounded like Beavis and Butthead. But it's, no, but seriously, when that opened up tonight, I'm not going to lie. People could laugh at me. When I saw him singing, I'm like, is that Damian Priest? And then I saw the woman, and I'm like, wait, what NXT wrestler is she? I thought that they were doing something where all NXT wrestlers were performing in a band.
Like Land of a Thousand.
Yeah, but then I saw that goof in the background going like this. And I'm like, there ain't no fucking way that guy's the guy behind him, the goof with his tongue. I was like, there's no way that guy wrestles in NXT, you know, because no. So then I realized it's a real band. Oh, it was horrendous, man. It was horrendous. Oh,
well, that's, you know, it's they're more for young kids. I mean, they're, you know, they call themselves I wouldn't say they're a hardcore band. They're called a hardcore band, but they're pretty popular. You know, they play here in New York. They'll sell out easily. They got a lot of props around the country and around the world. They're one of the hot young bands of today. So, you know, it's appropriate for NXT, Code Orange.
Yeah. I got a question for you. My buddy from Miami, A. Espinoza. Your brother from what, a group Showdown, the White Record?
Showdown.
He said, ask about his brother from Shutdown. Shutdown.
Yeah, that's my brother Mark, the singer. That is my brother.
All right. Where Fear and Weapons Meet Miami Style. That's what he said. It's he wants a party with Marky at Churchill's. Don't know what that means, but sounds like I'm not invited to that party.
I'll pass the message on to Mark when I talk to him this
week.
Thank you.
So Damian Priest, even though he lost tonight, you know, again, I think he wins. And, you know, I'm not sure what his pay-per-view record is, but I'll tell you this much. if his pay-per-view record is, you know, perfect, loss every time, WWE is doing a phenomenal job in covering that because you just feel that the guy is building up. And, you know, again, anybody that listens to watching my Wednesday show, I am a big supporter of AEW. I'm also a big supporter of NXT. And the one thing, when I watch a pay-per-view like this, the one thing that keeps going in my head is what WWE said. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And yes, AEW has some bright young stars, Hangman Page, Sammy Guevara. I mean, there's several that I could go down the list with. If you look at WWE, they probably have about, I'm not exaggerating when I say this, 20 to 30 names on NXT that could end up being pretty damn big stars in the future. The women's division, you could come up with probably four or five right off the bat. And then when you think Keith Lee, Gargano, Ciampa, Cross, you know, almost every male that was on the show tonight, Cole, Dream, you know, we didn't even get into other wrestlers that really didn't have a match, even though we got an appearance from Loomis, Dexter Loomis, my favorite theme song in wrestling right now. Absolutely love it. But moving on to the next match. And you know what? I don't remember if the commercial happened before the next match or after, but we had Adam Cole cutting a commercial for IcoPro. And, you know, if you were wondering, like, why does he have a glove in his hand? And, you know, the way he was positioned, you know, a lot of people picked up on it almost immediately that Adam Cole was doing a carbon copy, a tribute to Bret Hart and the old IcoPro commercials. I was just surprised that they didn't have an old IcoPro t-shirt to put on.
Oh, yeah. Remember those?
So I thought that was a pretty cool commercial that they did. You know, a little tribute to IcoPro. A lot of 90s references today, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was funny, too, because I think a lot of people wouldn't have gotten it. Shawn Michaels, you know, they showed Shawn Michaels, you know, with D-Generation X, and they're on the computer, and Shawn Michaels with one finger touching a keyboard like this. You go back, I think Ryan Satin put up a couple of screenshots late tonight, but when Shawn Michaels used to be seen in the mid-90s, because I know he did one of those internet shows that WWF did in the around 97-ish, 98, around that time, and when he would be seen on the computer or the keyboard, he'd be like touching one key at a time. Then when they went to the 2000s and you see Shawn Michaels, he'd be touching one key at a time. Funny thing about it is you know, because I did a conversation on the DT show about 2 weeks ago. We were talking about people who used to have me blocked that no longer have me blocked and some that still do. I just found out that within the last 2 weeks, Shawn Michaels blocked me. And I just pictured tonight, like, him going like this when he's about to hit block, yes, correct? And he goes like this, blocked. So, and I think I know why I got blocked. Jeez. Even though I actually said something nice, I haven't said anything bad about him. It's just that, you know, when we talked about The Undertaker's the last episode, I don't know if it was with you on the show or the solo show, but he was talking about returning for the Saudi Arabia match, and they came across that, oh, he did it because Undertaker asked him to. And, you know, I said, in my opinion, and I even said, I don't blame him for doing that because it's a nice nest egg for his family. I truthfully believe, you know, for 10, 12 years, whatever it is, the fans, I'm retired. You know, I felt that, you know, the amount of money that he was offered in Saudi Arabia, that's why he came back. You know, that's just my opinion. But if that's worthy of being blocked, it's fine. You know, but so we had that IcoPro commercial tonight, which I thought was pretty cool. Now we have Keith Lee versus Johnny Gargano for the North American Championship. What was your thoughts of that match?
I thought it was good, the size difference. And, you know, Keith Lee's not that big. He's 6'2", 6'3", 335. Gargano looks like 2.5 times smaller than him. I mean, Gargano's either really small because Keith Lee ain't that big. But even tonight when he was climbing on him like a spider monkey and Keith Lee's got him on one arm, it just is the size difference. And usually that's not a big deal. We've seen, God knows, we've seen Mysterio go against Batista, and they made it work. But I don't like the matchup of these two guys here. I thought Gargano does a good job with anybody in the ring. He's a ring technician. And Keith Lee did good. But I don't like the matchup between the two of them. I'm hopeful this is over. I don't want to see this feud continue. I just don't like the way they match up. It was a good match, but I don't want to see any kind of series going on here between these two. I think, if anything, I think we'll be seeing Keith Lee maybe against Cross. We'll get into that in a little bit. I don't know where Johnny Gargano goes from here because he lost pretty decisively. But, again, that doesn't mean much anymore. I mean, you can lose and still win. But I just don't like if you have something in the background, there was something going on outside on the street. I don't know what. I'm not going to get up here in gunshots, it sounds like. I'm not even kidding. But I don't like the matchup of the two. I just don't care for the matchup. But it was okay. I'm a big Keith Lee fan. I like Gargano as a heel. I'm enjoying him as a heel. I just don't like the matchup.
I'll tell you the truth. I didn't think Gargano lost convincingly at all. In fact, even though I predicted that Keith Lee would retain, there were moments in that match that I thought Gargano was getting it. When Gargano put that key in his trunks, you kind of knew that that key was going to come into play. You know, when Candice LeRae came out, it was funny because Candice LeRae, you know, tried to interfere when Lee had Gargano up outside the ring, and Keith Lee caught Candice, and, you know, Candice is like, fuck. And then Keith Lee's like, behind you. And then Mia Yim and Candice goes at it a little bit. But when Keith Lee, because they did the storyline, you know, with Keith Lee having a bad eye. So when Gargano took out the key and started wedging it in Keith Lee's eye, I thought that was going to be the moment that he was going to win the belt. But the thing is that, you know, and again, this is kind of me nitpicking a little bit, but if you go back and you watch that, after Gargano, you know, I can understand hulking up, but Keith Lee no-sold a key suspension of disbelief being dug into either your eye or the top of your eye. I mean, we weren't going to get the Rey Mysterio fake blood or anything like that, but he no-sold it. You know, so yeah, here's Gargano hitting him with the key, digging it in. Keith Lee's out on the mat. Gargano goes for a kick, gets a 2 count. Another super kick, 2 count. Another super kick, 2 3/4. And I'm like, wow, you know, it's getting closer and closer and closer. But then within a minute or two, you got Keith Lee with 2 spirit power bombs. And then the Big Bang Catastrophe, 1 2 3, yeah. Match over. I honestly thought that Gargano, the way the match was, the story was being told, Gargano was getting that belt. I think a lot of people out there were a little bit surprised that Gargano did not get this title.
Well, when I mean decisively, I'm meaning that it didn't take really, you know, much to pin him. It wasn't like he continuously kicked out like when he fights Ciampa. I mean, Lee had him, you know, with the finisher. But, again, yeah, he got in some offense and stuff. There was some stuff times where it could look like he could win, but they decided to go with the big man, you know. So I don't know if this continues. And, again, I don't – Ciampa and Gargano's future to me is very hazy. I don't know where either one of them go.
Yeah, Gargano, I think, is gold, going to get golden in the very near future. Which gold, I don't know. I'm a little concerned, like I said before, about Ciampa. I don't know where Ciampa goes right now with this because, you know, we already know that Ciampa has expressed many times before he does not want to go to the main roster. The funny thing about it is even if he did, this is something I don't think anybody thought about, even if he did go to the main roster right now, he's going in the same fucking building. You know what I mean? Like, WWE's not touring for months and months and months, for quite some time. So if Gargano were to, if Ciampa was to show up on Raw or SmackDown, it's the same building. You know what I mean? So it's not, like, much different here. So, you know, I'm not sure. I have to think about that a little bit more. But, you know, Keith Lee and Gargano, as of this point, favorite match so far. Enjoyed it tremendously. You know, and again, I really got a kick out of the reference to Doc Hendricks. But next, we had Adam Cole defending the NXT Championship against Velveteen Dream in the backlot brawl. The stipulation is that if Velveteen Dream loses, he cannot challenge for the NXT Championship again as long as Adam Cole is champion. And the way that stipulation was written, I thought there was no way Velveteen Dream was winning this. They should have made a second stipulation. Cole losing the title is stipulation enough. But they made it so one-sided, in my opinion, that if they would have said, if Velveteen Dream loses, he can't challenge for the belt ever again. Yeah. That then would have gave me a little bit of doubt, because then I'm saying to myself, okay, you know, maybe he is going to get it right now. But if he's main roster bound, so what if they did that full stipulation? Never again, no matter who the champion is. But when they limited it to just Adam Cole, I honestly didn't think he was going to win. But Adam Cole comes out in kind of a monster truck with vinyl Undisputed Era logos, you know, vinyl wrapped on the car. You know, those could be easily removed. Velveteen Dream, you know, and I agree, a lot of people out there thought he would show up in a little red Corvette. Instead, he shows up in a yellow Lamborghini. What driving school did you go to? I don't know. What'd you think of this match?
I liked it. I thought it was cool. I liked with the cars, with all like surrounding the ring and everything with the lights on. I enjoyed it. I thought, you know, Velveteen looked cool, you know, in the street clothes looked good. I didn't think he was going to wear anything flamboyant. He came to fight and, you know, wearing street clothes, and I thought he looked good. Adam Cole, I always enjoy his matches. Adam Cole always puts on a great performance. I've never seen Adam Cole phone it in yet since he's been here at NXT. He's very consistent when it comes to wanting to do well and you know, earning every dollar that he makes. He's one of those type of guys, one of those type of workers. They match up good size-wise. They match up good style-wise. Again, I think Velveteen Dream goes to the main roster at this point. I think that's why it was easy to let him take the pin. He doesn't lose anything because he gets, you know, some people say demoted, but it's actually promoted. It's supposed to be promoted to the main roster. And I think that's where Velveteen Dream is headed, to Raw. And Adam Cole, who's his next opponent? Don't know. I mean, that's kind of exciting, if anything, because now, you know, we don't know the future for a lot of people, where they go from here with feuds. But I would like to see Velveteen Dream win the championship and have a run with the title. But yeah, it wasn't in the cards, and this is what it is.
Rasquan, what's that TV show that Velveteen Dream dressed up as? I'm drawing a blank right now. You definitely know what I'm talking about. You know, there was a little bit of, you know what? I got to remember this too. Gargano was dressed up as, I think, the Mandalorian, if I understand correctly, because there was a couple of tributes tonight. Chat, bail me out of this one. Walking Dead. Thank you, Rasquan.
Oh yeah.
Walking Dead. That's what he was doing.
What's the character's name?
Oh fuck. He had it written down too. What was the character's name again? Shit.
Negan.
Yeah. Negan. Yeah, Carmelo, thank you. Negan, yes. So we had a couple of tributes tonight. A lot of people, I don't even think, know that Gargano was paying tribute to tonight as well. Yes, the whole overall view of the match felt like Walking Dead. I'll be honest with you, I enjoyed the concept of the cars around the ring. You know, I know some goofs online were nitpicking, saying, why is it pitch black out? If you watch AEW at 8:15 at night in Florida, it's still dusk. That's what people were actually grasping on. But, you know, early on in the match, the headlights were annoying the fuck out of me. Because the way the camera work was, you know, when you have headlights, the best thing to do when you do cameras is you want to go downward with your cameras. When you are same level with the headlights, I invite anybody out there right now, do it yourselves. Put your grandmother in front of your car and make sure that their eyes are the same exact level as the headlights. And then turn those lights on. And when you see them like this, you see them having spasms, you know why. But if you're above the headlights or even a little bit below the headlights, that glare doesn't go right into your eyes. And that glare for the first couple of minutes was really fucking annoying for me. But very quickly, you know, they kind of changed gears a little bit. And I'll be honest with you, this was recorded in segments, and it felt like after they recorded that first, you know, splurge of offense with the two guys, it felt like that when they looked at that and saw the camera work, I think they made a concerted effort to change the viewpoint, because after a couple of minutes, it went away. I don't know if anybody noticed that, but it really did go away, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, there was a couple of comedic things in there. One stupid thing, and I know people are going to think the Uber. I thought the Uber thing was funny. Did you like the Uber spot?
Yeah, that was cool.
Woman comes up, did somebody call for an Uber? And they're brawling in there. I thought it was hilarious. But the one spot I didn't like was when Adam Cole says, I'm out of here. He gets into a car. And Velveteen Dream is in front of the fucking car with a baseball bat. And Velveteen Dream punches the hood, punches the mirror, punches the glass, but doesn't break for some reason, punches more of the car. And while all this is being set up, I'm saying to myself, why isn't he just fucking nailing it in reverse? He's in the, it looked like a bad horror film. You know, like when somebody gets cornered and there's like three doors where they could just run out for help and they just decide to hang out in the corner, pee on the floor, and then get hacked to death in a horror film. Adam Cole's in the car. You know, like, it would have been good if he was like, where's the keys? Where's the keys? I don't recall him saying anything about no keys, but he's in the car. Velveteen Dream's like, what school did you go to? I'm going to bash the car. I'm going to position myself. I am winding up. Here it is. And meanwhile, Cole is just like a goof in the car, not trying to like pull it in reverse.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, that's just me nitpicking. I thought the match was a lot of fun. Very, very physical.
It was a fun match. It was a good watch.
Yeah. One point, Velveteen Dream is on a ladder. He's about to dive off onto Adam Cole, and he gets distracted by a horn. You know, because the Undisputed Era pull up in a car, and they're blasting the horn, and Velveteen Dream stops what he's doing, and they start unloading on Velveteen Dream, throwing tons of chairs in the ring. So you know that the chairs are going to be the final spot in the match. And they're setting up this. And meanwhile, before all this goes on, Adam Cole goes through a fucking windshield. And I tell you, man, you know, a lot of people were wondering, you know, was that, you know, bullshit windshield? No, that wasn't no bullshit windshield, you know. Even when stunt, I don't think windshields crack like that. And you saw his arm; it looked cut up, pretty legit. And man, it was a very, very physical spot, you know. But we got the appearance by Dexter Lumis, which was great. And life imitating art, like Beth Phoenix said. If anybody remembers NXT on Wednesday, Dexter Lumis drew that picture of him driving the Undisputed Era. And that's exactly what he did. He threw Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong in the trunk of the car, sped away, so they wouldn't be involved in the match.
They really found a place for this guy, like where, you know, when he debuted months ago, you didn't really know what they were going to do with this guy. And they, like, his gimmick, obviously, is a takeoff on the Dexter character, the serial killer on that cable TV show, and Lumis after Dr. Lumis on Halloween. So you're wondering, like, he's got to be a heel, but it turns out it looks like he's going to be a big babyface.
Wasn't the doctor's name from the movie Halloween Dr. Lumis?
Yeah, Dr. Lumis. That's what they
got. Don Pleasant, right? Donald Pleasant. Yeah, I said Don Pleasant. Yeah, Donald Sand. Mm-hmm. You know, look, I enjoy Dexter Lumis. I'm enjoying the character. Favorite theme song so far. But, you know, I'm still confused. The relationship of Dexter Lumis and Velveteen Dream. It's a very strange relationship that just feels like it was just put together very randomly. They really have not explained it all. I'm not sure Dexter Lumis wants...
That's what they did. They just peppered him right in there. That's what I'm talking about. It's like this guy was bred to be a crazy, you know, psycho heel, but maybe with the arrival of Cross, it was too much, and they're like, you know what, let's go a different way with Lumis and make him a baby face, make him save a big baby face, because that came out of nowhere. You're right, DT, but it seems like people have accepted it now. You're asking the question, but I'm sure other people are, but they kind of let it go. It's like, yeah, why is he big on saving Velveteen Dream all the time? There's never been an explanation. You're right. They just did it. But it seems to work, and I think when fans come back, Loomis might be a big hit with the fans as a babyface. But I thought this guy was destined to be like this killer heel, but it looks like that's not what they're doing with him.
I don't know if he's a babyface. That's the thing.
I think he is.
And I've said this once before on my Wednesday show. I in no way, shape, or form am I trying to compare Undertaker, Dexter Loomis to Undertaker. But it's that vibe of, you know, no expression whatsoever. You know, like there's, like he's just methodical and monotone and very, you know, like there's no expression. So it's like, let me put it this way. If he did everything he did for the last 3 weeks and did it to Velveteen Dream instead of to his opponent, I think it would be the same exact character. Like there is no shift whatsoever. So it's like a little bit odd, but I'm not shitting on it at all. I fucking am enjoying Dexter Loomis quite a bit. I just think that story needs to be a little bit clearer as to why, you know, this happened in the first place. But, you know, look, great match in the end, though. You know, we had Velveteen Dream, you know, get the Panama Sunrise on him with a bed of chairs. Adam Cole retains the NXT championship. You know, again, it makes you wonder who's going to feud next. I have a feeling. I would not be surprised. I see, this is why I'm not sure. See, if they're going to put Dream on the main roster, right. Then maybe that's why they did this with Loomis. That, okay, we need someone to segue from Velveteen Dream to the next opponent for Adam Cole. So, all right, you know, who could we put in next? Oh, let's, you know what, maybe we'll have him go at it a little bit with Dexter Loomis. Yeah, but how do we get Dexter Loomis involved with this? Okay, he'll just show up and help Velveteen Dream one day, and then he'll start getting attacked by the Undisputed Era, and then that'll get into an odd thing where Dexter Loomis has this fantasy of, you know, controlling the Undisputed Era or driving the car and this and that, and then Velveteen Dream loses. He goes maybe to the main roster. That leaves Dexter Loomis with a little bit of a sub-storyline and heat with the Undisputed Era, and then Dexter Loomis is the next one in line to go out with Adam Cole.
Right, it could be.
Just thinking. Just thinking. That was an old promo for our shows. By the way, should we play that little video that I told you I was going to share with everybody today?
Of course, let's do it now.
You know what? Yeah, because you know why? We could segue into the Tommaso Ciampa, Karrion Kross match. And, you know, look, we're biased, obviously. I mean, there's no doubt whatsoever we're biased. Karrion Kross is a homeboy from our neck of the woods, followed him for a very long time, got intimately involved with the whole shit with Impact Wrestling and the chump change. I'll never reveal the figures, but everybody knows, you know, he had sent me all the court papers last year. And when I read, and let's also be honest, everyone, it's not start shit. I praise the fuck out of Impact Wrestling now. I give them a lot of press on the Wednesday show. I support Impact Wrestling. You know, you don't hold grudges with the only person that you hold the grudge with Impact Wrestling is the person who was screwed, which is Karrion Kross. But me, you know, covering wrestling, if I see things progressing, I got to give credit. That's why I always give credit to even MLW. But, you know, Karrion Kross, homeboy, and it's awesome to see somebody not only come from our neck of the woods, but someone who, you know, not only supported our show, we supported him as well. And starting to get little videos thrown our way. I know Dell sent us a video a while back. I haven't had a chance to put as a little intro for the shows, which I will be doing soon. But one of our patrons, Hassan Al-Hashmi, who actually lives in Abu Dhabi, he is the gentleman that I shout out on a lot of the shows because we have listeners all across the globe, and that's the fact. I mean, it's no doubt, no denying that. And he actually sent money to Kross for a cameo video. And, you know, he told Kross that Hassan is a big fan of our show, and he learned, of course, through our show and everything. And Killer Cross sent him a two-minute video. And Hassan Al-Hashmi immediately sent it to us and thought it would be a really cool thing to share with all of you out there. So I know this is going to burn for some haters out there, but I thought this was really fucking cool.
Yeah, it was.
Karrion Kross in his own words.
I appreciate you as a fan. I don't ever mean to seem redundant when I am speaking to fans, but I always think it's proper and respectful to show that gratitude back. I'm glad you're enjoying the new and improved, updated presentation. The stuff you're seeing on TV right now has been stuff I've wanted to do for a very long time. On my side, as a performer, as a pro wrestler, sports entertainer, I have to pick and choose when would be the most appropriate time to show you guys new things. And I'm really glad that it's being received so well. Don Tony and Kevin Castle, here's a funny story for you. Not many people know this, although it's probably not going to be shocking to you. I was a fan of that show before I even had anything to do with this industry or this business. I used to listen to their show all the time. And I have to tell you, it was I've had a lot of surreal experiences. But probably one of the biggest ones was one day putting on the show and hearing them talk about me. Because, I mean, I had been listening to them for like a very, very, very long time prior to being a form of discussion. So that was pretty weird, in a good way, obviously. Love those guys. I haven't met them in person, but I've chatted with them before. And my favorite thing about those two guys is they're very real. They'll just tell it to you like it is. And I think people like that are important in the world, because I think sometimes we, from a social standpoint, we get too overly concerned with wanting everybody to like us. And I think you can lose yourself doing that. You'll drive yourself crazy trying to appease everybody in the room. Maybe the people you want to like you, you might not even like them. And those two guys are not worried about that. And I like people like that.
Well, now since we can be, you know, very real and very honest, you know, I got to tell you, you know, Karrion, your match sucked tonight. I mean, it went 5 minutes to, I'm just fucking around. Yeah, I thought that was wonderful. I mean, that's absolutely awesome. And look, you know, if he happens to see this, this ain't blowing smoke. I don't blow smoke. I don't tweet fuck. I say, and I always mean what I say. And when we are allowed to have fans in attendance again, I've already talked to Andrew 914 and a few others. We are getting together in Florida either sometime this year or early next year, and came this close with MLW. Came this close seeing him in Long Island City, but it didn't work out. I was actually, Shaheen was the one that was putting it all together, and you know, I just could not get out of work that day, and that was very recent, right before COVID, right before he got signed from the WWE as well. So, yeah, definitely by next year, we're definitely going to meet up. So I'll see if he scares the shit out of me and intimidates me in real life as he does on TV, because tonight, man, you know, dominated Ciampa. I mean, I never in a million years ever expected WWE to let him dominate Daddy as much as they did. Because Ciampa, when he came back from the neck injury, you almost felt like the storyline was going to be Ciampa ending up getting his title back. And not only has that not happened, after this, I don't know where Ciampa goes with this, because WWE, you know, had Cross dominate him. And I mean, just hitting insecurities. And at one point where he lifts up Ciampa by the neck, kind of always gives me flashbacks to when Hulk Hogan lifted up, when Thunderlips lifted up Rocky Balboa. But unfortunately, you know, like, would have been cool if Thunderlips took Rocky Balboa and threw him backwards, neck first, in the edge of the apron outside the ring. We didn't get that. But what'd you think of the match today?
Well, first off, yeah, thanks to Cross for making that video and Shimi for sending it to us. That was really cool. And yeah, we both get to chat with him off, and he's exactly the way he comes off on the video. He's as real. He calls us real. He's as real as it gets.
Shout out Dave Anthony.
Yeah, that's why we like him too. So I was happy. Congrats to him on his debut win. I thought it was impressive. I mean, you get to be put over Ciampa. That's a big deal, you know. And give props to Ciampa too for working this program with him. And I think this is not over. I think they'll have another match or two. And hopefully Cross will get the best of it, because then it'll really put him on the map. There's a lot of people still not that familiar with Cross who are getting familiar with him, liking what they see. It's mostly positive from what I see. I thought it was a good match. I thought it was the way it needed to go. This guy, he had to show some dominance. He had to put him out in his finisher, get the win that way so people can take it as he's legit. It's not just all entrance and smoke and mirrors, so to speak. But a good job tonight. Obviously, they had to water down the entrance a little bit because of the limited space, the in-your-house thing. But it looked great, man. I was happy. It was cool to hear the trainees, fall and pray, because everyone's wondering how that's going to come off when they go back to crowds, how he's going to get over. Even though he's a heel, he's going to get the usual NXT reaction. NXT fans love the heels anyway. So he's going to do just fine there, and I think he's the new face of NXT as we see some people get called up to the main roster, and some people who are now, their job is to put over future stars on NXT. So he's one of them. We just named them before: Damian Priest, Matt Riddle, Keith Lee. Put Cross right up there, maybe even number one right now. And it's weird to say that because he just debuted tonight, but you can see it. If everyone who's listening to the show, watching the show, is a smart fan. You're not stupid. You know what you're seeing. You're seeing a rocket ship strapped to somebody's back. You're blind or just in denial if you don't see it. You never see anybody come in 6 weeks and make an impression like this. I haven't in quite a long time. But he's not some guy who just came out of the training center. He's been around for a while. He's paid his dues, as DT said. He's old school New York guy. Then he moved to Canada. Then he moved to Vegas. He's been all over the world. So he's paid his dues. There's one thing I hope I don't see, which would be ridiculous. People say, oh, he just came in and got a push. This guy has been, he has done it. Go look him up if you don't know a lot about him. He's earned it. And that's why he's not getting that kind of blowback. Oh, who's this guy? Go research him if you don't know him. He's got plenty of material on YouTube. He's been all over the place. So he's not some Johnny come lately. Again, it's great to know him in person. And it's fun to watch his rise, because we knew him before he was in wrestling. He was just a fan listening to the podcast. So I think it's exciting for us too, because again, you know, people are happy for us. We're happy for them when they have success. So this is fun. And Scarlett too. Let's not forget her. She looked fantastic tonight. Obviously, she's going to play a role. Will she wrestle? Who knows, DT? I don't think you know. None of us know what Scarlett's role is going to be beyond, you know, valet, maybe for now, and then she'll wrestle later, because she's got the skills too. So I don't want to forget her in the mix of this too, because it's a presentation of both of them, obviously. And she looked great tonight. And again, as a couple, they're great on and off screen. And I'm excited for his future. I really am, you know. And I thought it was a good match. And again, props to Ciampa too for, you know, being the guy that he is. It's you know, this is what he needs to do to help put talent over, and that's very unselfish of him to do that. So props to both of those guys for a good match tonight.
Well, first off, I mixed up two moves before. Northern Light suplexes, that was Cross. Enziguri's was Ciampa. Right. Look, we've had wrestlers come in the past, WWE, NXT, and dominate right from the get-go, and get impressive wins when you don't expect it. The reason why this is, I think, a big deal is who he beat. You know, because look, there's a lot of wrestlers who have come in and just squashed their opponents and squashed their opponents and squashed their opponents. The fact that they let him dominate this much with Ciampa is very interesting. And like I said, you know, anybody out there that is not aware of Cross yet, you don't listen to the shows, because I've brought that guy up many times in the past, and I think just people just didn't want to pay attention. And he got signed the same time Timothy Thatcher got signed, and it fucking disappointed the hell out of me. And I brought this up before, that I decided to do a little bio on Thatcher and Cross when they first got signed, and everybody out there, with the exception of a very small group of people, didn't pay any attention to it. So I'm like, okay, you know, soon enough they'll see. And sure, you know, some people may get over, you know, publicized on our shows because we like them or for whatever reason. But, you know, what you see on TV, you know, speaks for itself. The match was excellent. You know, we already knew that he could do what he could do in the ring. It's just the big question is, does WWE allow that to happen? And they did so far. And the question I think people need to keep on their mind is, where does this leave Ciampa? Because this wasn't where, you know, look, he got choked out. You know, Cross put the cross jacket on him. You know, the referee didn't do the, you know, three times with no, you know, he just felt it. Oh, he's not grabbing. All right, call for the bell. Quick, boom, boom. For all we know, Wednesday could come and Ciampa could go on the mic and say, I never tapped out at this or that and demand a rematch. And who knows? But Scarlett will definitely get physical soon. She's got those cat claws. I've said this a few times already. We need to see the visual of her scraping either Cross's back and him having that evil look like that he's enjoying it, or she does it to someone else. I just don't know physically if you could push down on them, because for all we know, they could be just like little rubber props. But if there's any type of, you know, any type of, not sharpness, not like, you know, razor blades, but if it's a hard plastic, it'd be a pretty interesting visual to see something like that. But, you know, I enjoyed the match. It was excellent. I was just really surprised that WWE let him dominate as much as he did. So I want to see where the storyline goes, you know, with Ciampa. I mean, Cross, we know, but Ciampa, I'm really curious to see where they go with here, because, you know, it's not like he's been laid out. You know, he's back from the neck injury. He had the feud with Gargano. He's had some matches. But if you actually look at Ciampa, since he has returned, Ciampa really is not done anywhere near as much as we expected him to do.
Yeah, do you think this will be a – do you think they go on to do a series, DT, to keep Cross busy and just keep him in with
Ciampa? No idea. Yeah, it depends on what they're going to do with Ciampa. Something's up. You know, I don't know. Just something is up. If anybody out there really dissects, since right before WrestleMania, you know, they have really not done much of anything with Ciampa. He had, you know, that big war with Gargano, and, you know, they took those crazy bumps and this and that, you know, the storyline, and it didn't elevate, you know, like, bring up Ciampa at all. And then this with Cross, and, you know, the problem I had with the storyline from day one was when Cross attacked him in the back, Ciampa should have been on in storyline on NXT that Wednesday, right after the attack, a couple of days before, and he should have been on there. I'm not leaving this ring till that son of a bitch comes out there and this and that. But they decide, you know, Daddy's Home was literally Daddy's Home. You know, he gets attacked and he's off TV for a couple of weeks, and then he comes back and then wants to get revenge. You know, it just, I don't know. The storyline was not smooth. I don't know where this leads with Ciampa, but it's going to be interesting to see what they do Wednesday, if he's even on Wednesday night. Would not surprise me if Ciampa's not on NXT Wednesday night. But again, you know, I say what I said before. You know, Ciampa has expressed before that he does not want to go up to the main roster. But if they offered him, you know, a little bit extra bucks to go up to the main roster for a little while, who knows? Who knows? They're still in the same building. His schedule, you know, kind of changes one night, so to speak. And we'll see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
So shout out to the 90s guy. The 90s guy should have loved the In Your House tonight. You know, as far as a wrestling fan goes, you know, the retro look, the Ico Pro commercials, the ice cream bars, the setup, the stage, the lighting, you know, it just kind of wish, you know, if I could change one thing tonight, I wish we would have had some bigger old school graphics. You know what I mean? Like, just have, like, you know, like, as if you thought that you were watching a 90s pay-per-view. Like, not all the graphics were changed, you know? But I'm not going to complain. I enjoyed it tremendously, so. Absolutely. But and by the way, 90s guy is currently in Australia, so I hope everything is well there. I've been watching from afar as far as the protests, which are all across the globe. And it's not just protests, you know, it is support too. You know, the disband the cop stuff, you know, that'll be saved for a rant for another day. But overall, this is people unifying as much as they possibly can. So, but shout out to you again and everybody tuning in. So, Ciampa loses to Cross. Doomsday for Daddy. Main event time. Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley trying to dethrone Charlotte Flair, who is the NXT champion. You know, I kind of talked about it earlier. You know, I wanted Io Shirai to win. You know, I don't think, you know, some people late tonight, oh, they gave the AEW title to Hikaru Shida, so that's why they did that with Io Shirai. No, that's not the case. I think a lot of us thought Io Shirai got the shit end of the stick when she fought Charlotte the last event. We felt that, you know, Io Shirai in that title match was going to end in a clusterfuck in fuckery, and that's what happened. What did Rhea Ripley, maybe I'm just thinking too much into current events, but did Rhea Ripley wear the white boot and the black boot to basically, you know, as a support for black and white coming together? Am I just reading too much into that? Does anybody know the reason for
it
the...
Is it a boyfriend African-American? So it could be.
Yeah, but I don't think she would wear, like, you know, she was wearing all black, so it's the opposite. It's not like she was black and, oh, this white boot represents my white boyfriend. It felt like the white... You know what it felt like? It felt like, and the funny thing is, I think back to WrestleMania, and I'm trying to remember if there was a crazy outrage, and I don't recall one. I think people were just baffled that he had done this, but, you know, how do people feel about Roddy Piper with the black face and the white face? And Roddy Piper was basically, look, you, of course, there's no excuse.
I know how I felt about it. That was cringy. I thought that was so inappropriate. I know what he said in later years, but that was not good.
Yeah, it was just odd. But I don't think there was any malicious intent behind it, obviously. But obviously, you know, no one would do that today. So Rhea Ripley's might have been the right way to pay tribute of black and white. One boot white, one blue boot black. Say that fast 10 times. No. But, you know, I've said this last week. I'll continue saying it. Rhea Ripley right now has zero momentum.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Maybe she is the one to feud with Io Shirai now for the women's championship. Because I look at the other women on the NXT roster right now, and nobody really comes to mind like, oh, yeah, yeah, I could see that person feuding with Io Shirai next.
Right.
I think Rhea Ripley might be, by default, the next person in line against Io Shirai. Is there any other woman on the women's roster in NXT that you feel has, not just on ability alone, I mean, but you feel has stepped up to possibly contend for that championship right now?
I'm not going to say. Nobody that I can think of. Candice, no.
No.
Shotzi's not ready. Tegan Knox would never win. I can't think of anybody who's a babyface who... there's nobody I could think of. But I'll say this, DT. I think they should turn Rhea Ripley a heel. I think she has a babyface. They thought she was going to be like a Becky Lynch. She just completely fell off the chain. And I know Io Shirai is technically a heel, but I have a feeling she'll get babyface reactions once the crowds come back. I think there's just there's some weird booking that they're going to have to make some shifts in how they book certain people right now for who Shirai's next opponent's going to be, or if anybody's, or they're just going to at random pick somebody. They're going to pick Aaliyah and just go with her. I mean, I'm hearing that, I'm sure you heard it too, DT, Chelsea Green's going to the main roster. So, I there's these weird moves that are being made. You know,
they haven't made the moves yet. You know what I mean?
They haven't made the moves yet, but Dijakovic was rumored to be going. He's supposed to be on Raw.
Dijakovic was also supposed to challenge Apollo Crews last week. You know, we saw where that went.
Well, we'll say, well, like I said, rumors are he's on tomorrow night. We'll see. We got a show tomorrow night. We'll talk about it. But yeah. Chelsea Green, if she does go, because she fired that Robert Stone, which wasn't doing anything for her. So I don't know who. I think they're just kind of like throwing darts at the women at this point. Because we'll get more into the match. I mean, I was end result. I was happy that Shirai won. But Rhea Ripley, you're right, has no momentum. I think the only way for her to get momentum back is for her to become a vicious fucking, like, down and dirty heel again. I think she's just lost in the shuffle, just another babyface wrestler. But they have a lot of – then again, a lot of the girls are bad guys, so to speak. I just again, until they get crowds back, I don't think they're really going to know the temperature, the barometer of who's hot and who's not right now. We just don't know. There's no crowds to judge it. And clearly we're not going by ratings, you know?
Yeah. Shout out to AMJB789, you asshole. And I say that complimentary. Hates my guts, but we have fun. We have fun, so.
Oh, that's nice.
No. From one asshole to another. But, you know, look, when no crowd's there, it's hard to turn heel. So right. You have to, I mean, look, well, then again, you know, with the NXT fans, you know, good guy cheer, bad guy boo. So, you know, it's not like, you know, you remember when Daniel Bryan was doing no, 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 and everybody's going, yes, yes, yes. Just think if we were in the middle of COVID, you know, the fans insisted of turning Daniel Bryan. And if this was COVID era when Daniel Bryan was going, no, 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 fucking WWE would have had all the NXT fans around ringside going, no, no. So the only way they could really do it is Rhea Ripley maybe comes out to congratulate Io Shirai on the win, and then she attacks Io Shirai, violently throws her through the plexiglass. And by the way, you know, I think I was spot on what I said 2 weeks ago, that the plexiglass is to get fans used to it, so when they bring back some fans, they're not like, well, ain't there plexiglass here? But WWE's, you know, getting a little bit too infatuated with throwing people into the plexiglass. It started with the Elimination Chamber. And once they did that with the Elimination Chamber and having Otis going through the plexiglass, I think somebody there got a fucking, or, you know, got a fetish for plexiglass. Seriously. I think somebody there is like, we got a plexiglass. We got, they have to go through the plexiglass. Boom, through the plexiglass. I mean, Gargano had to jump up in order to get pounced through the plexiglass tonight. And everybody saw that. I could let that go because, you know, it still was a cool visual. But, you know, this infatuation to suddenly bash everybody in the plexiglass, you know, I think they need to tone that down a little bit. But it was funny at one point where Charlotte was brawling down where the In Your House setup was. And she grabs Io Shirai and immediately had flashbacks of Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. And I honestly thought that there was rigged glass there. But then I understand now why they didn't do that, because Io Shirai had to come back and obviously do the dive and win the match. But, you know, when she threw Io Shirai through the house, I mean, that's like, if you go back and look at that, like, why would you be laid out? That's Shockmaster. Like, she just went through cardboard. And she flew through. It was 3 feet off the ground. It honestly, she could have put on the Stormtrooper hat and went through the thing and just laid on the floor. And it was just, they put it through it and they thought it was a great visual. There was no glass or nothing. She just like went through an empty hole. It looked like Shockmaster falling down.
Yeah, it does.
But again, you know, mean nitpicking, but Io Shirai climbs to the top of the house. And as she's on the top of the house, I immediately focus only on Charlotte and Rhea Ripley. And they're brawling with each other. And Charlotte, it's like how Fred Flintstone used to, like, go to the refrigerator, and, like, he was on his tippy toes. She, like, yeah. Shoots to, like, right where she needs to be positioned. And she grabs Rhea Ripley. And they're looking up and looking up. And then Io Shirai dives on top of them. Hey, catch me. You know, it's, I don't know why they insist on putting the camera on them, showing them, positioning themselves. Anybody go back and watch that? But I'm happy that Io Shirai got that title.
Me too.
I personally think, and I've been saying this for a couple of months now, and I get ripped still to about it, Charlotte winning the NXT title at WrestleMania was the right way to go. She had that belt for 6 weeks. She made that belt. If Io Shirai would have defeated Rhea Ripley, with all due respect, I don't think it would have been really amounted to much of anything. First of all, Charlotte is strong on the mic. Charlotte is the top female wrestler in the last 10 years. She's got all the tools. So just imagine if Rhea Ripley was the champion for the last 6 weeks and then loses it to Io Shirai. You mean to tell me that that would have been a stronger win for Io Shirai? Plus, if Rhea Ripley does turn heel, that's the different aspect of Rhea Ripley 6 weeks ago compared to now. I personally think Charlotte helped bring up the women's division a little bit more, gave it a strong name behind it. You know, you can't really compare it to Finn Balor because Finn Balor's not holding gold and not the main title right now. But, you know, Finn Balor coming to NXT, you know, Finn Balor has helped elevate Damian Priest. Finn Balor is, you know, on his feuds, he's elevating some people, you know, and probably Damian Priest has benefited the most because of Finn Balor. So Io Shirai benefited from Charlotte being the champion the last 6 weeks, not the opposite. A lot of people may not have liked that Charlotte became NXT championship, became NXT champion, but Io Shirai winning it off of Charlotte feels a lot stronger than if Io Shirai would have defeated Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
You know, that's just my opinion. But I enjoyed the match. It was solid. You know, they worked extremely hard. And again, no disrespect intended for AEW because I am a big supporter. But you just look at the NXT women's roster, even if you don't want to include Charlotte because she's main roster, you look at that NXT women's roster, you put it side by side with AEW's roster, it's not even close. It's not even close. For every AEW female wrestler that is extremely talented, there's about seven in NXT. And, you know, they're going to build for tomorrow, you know? And you look at, I don't want to single out anybody on the main roster, but if you look at the iconic stars of Raw or SmackDown, come on, the NXT women, just, they should have a lot of pride for that division because they are extremely, you know, maybe not strong as strong as characters go, but it's a very strong women's roster. And Io Shirai being a champion for it, I think is a wonderful thing, especially that, you know, that could this be the next Asuka where she holds it for a very long period of time? I wouldn't mind once Kairi Sane heals. Maybe Kairi Sane, they put her back in NXT. Maybe they do a champion versus champion match and have Io Shirai and Asuka go at it, which I think would be a fucking phenomenal match. No titles on the line.
Yeah, that's not bad. There's all sorts of, opens up the doors of a lot of possibilities.
I wouldn't mind seeing Io Shirai show up on Raw tomorrow or next week. And have, you know, no titles on the line. Io Shirai, you know, against Asuka. I think that would be an awesome fucking match. I think a lot of people would like that, so.
Yeah, I'm just happy that the right person won the match. That's what I liked about tonight. I think all the right people got the pinfall and won. Majority, I think, did. You know, from Dakota Kai to start to Io Shirai to the end. You know, the right people won, so I don't think you'll get a lot of bitching. You know, you'll always get people to complain, but the right people won tonight, majority.
Yeah. 90s guy who's in Australia loved the look and the feel of In Your House today. And by the way, he said that 30,000 people protested in his city in Australia. So, yeah, we see it all across the globe. And, you know, it's a shame that a tragedy had to bring everybody together like that. But, you know, it's majority of it is a beautiful thing to see. So, and just like King of Swan style, I enjoyed NXT TakeOver In Your House very much. I know you did as well. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give the pay-per-view?
8.
Okay. Yeah, I could go with that. What was your favorite match and your least favorite match?
For sentimental reasons, Cross and Ciampa was my favorite match. Outside of that, My second favorite match was Balor and Damian Priest. And okay. My least favorite match was the opening match with the girls. Just too many missed spots.
Okay. Keith Lee and Gargano, I really enjoyed tremendously because them two, they really work well together. You even had some comedic spots. I remember when Gargano tried to hit the tope suicida, as Excalibur calls it, and Keith Lee caught him and just had that look, just eye to eye, which was pretty funny. But, you know, you really didn't have a bad match on the card. Of all the matches tonight, I will say, you know, and I'm not saying this as a detriment to the women, but the six-woman tag match was probably the least enjoyable match, which is kind of weird to say because I enjoyed it as well. So there really was not anything bad tonight. Favorite match, it really comes down to Lee Gargano or Cross Ciampa. And the reason why I go with Cross Ciampa, and honestly, it's not because of everything we said before, but because it told a very powerful story. You know, Gargano and Lee also told a great story, but again, you know, little things, like I said, when you got Keith Lee that's selling already a bad eye, and he's suspension of disbelief is digging the key either on his forehead or in his eye. Of course, no reason to have blood, but immediately after that, you have Gargano hitting three kicks in a row, and not once did Keith Lee do this. Not once. Just did a kick in the head. Yeah. You know, I mean, like, he just no-sold it. And to me, that was one of the biggest deal breakers for me as far as favorite match of the night. So I go with Cross and Ciampa. Liked it very much. The backlot brawl, I enjoyed as well. You know, I wouldn't call it a cinematic film. You know, yes, I talked about ideas a couple of months ago of having cars around the ring and everybody sits in their cars, but then, you know, I never thought about everybody beeping their horn or cranking up like, you know, R-rated rap music. You know, just, I could just picture people doing that. We didn't hear the horns until after the match was over, which was good, with the exception of when Undisputed Era pulled up and things like that, but there was a couple of things in that match that I was like, eh, you know, when Cole goes in the car and doesn't just slam it in reverse and try to speed out of there. He could have slammed in reverse and, you know, maybe Velveteen Dream throws the bat at him and, you know, causes Cole to lose control of his car. He goes sideways, not the car flipping, but just the car, like, goes this way and maybe hits another, you know, bullshit junkyard car that they hired for the match. A lot of those cars were rental cars, but they could have got one or two junkyard cars that could have power. You just tow it there, turn the lights on so it looks like it's a regular car, and it could have just crashed into it. A couple little careless things. The Uber thing was funny, but for me, you know, it is what it is. Devin, hit your reload button because you are wrong. But I will say this for everyone out there, if you're enjoying the show, I would appreciate it if you give it a thumbs up. It'll be a recommendation for others out there. If you're enjoying the channel, hit the like button. About 11,800 going and strong, but I'll give the pay-per-view an 8 as well. If I compare it to non-COVID, I would give it a 7 because of the length, and you kind of wish there was one or two more matches in there. Unfortunately, we didn't see any Brazongo, or we didn't see, you know, a couple other matches that I would have liked to have seen. But for the 6 matches that we got, yeah, I give it an 8. Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah. So with that said, everybody, we're going to jet out of here. 90-minute recap, which I think was very deserving for a 6-match pay-per-view. We will be back here tomorrow night, Monday night, with the DTKC show. You know, us covering this tonight is good, so we don't have to get into it tomorrow. So we will focus mostly on Raw because that's pretty much going to be the news du jour. And definitely post your comments. You know, what was your favorite match, least favorite match? Do you agree, disagree on anything that we said? What do you think is going to happen with Ciampa next? Who is Cole's next opponent? Do you think Dream is going to go to the main roster? You know, let us know what you think. Absolutely, man. So, Kev, I will catch you tomorrow.
Yes, shout out to Discord and YouTube people who tuned in with us. Thank you for joining us for the recap. Thank you, DT, and I'll catch you tomorrow.
Yes, sounds good. Okay. All right, everybody, I'm going to jet out of here. So once again, thank you for tuning in. Much love as always. And if you know anyone else out there that, you know, might enjoy the channel, let them know about it. Costs nothing. And I thank you for the support. Let us know what you think about the recap. So, and you know what's cool? Since we did it in 90 minutes, I don't even really need to edit all that much tonight. So it saves me a lot of work. And my God, it's not even 11 p.m. yet. Maybe I could get laid. And I'm not kidding either. Good night, everybody. Much love.
On, oh my.
It was fun to channel surf. It was kind of hard to do a little pocket pool after you hitting the last channel button 50 times for 2 hours plus.
On, oh my.
And his whole idea of overanalyzing, oh, he's an alcoholic and he misplaced the belt. And how could you have someone champion like that? The fuck out of here.
Wednesday night.
Don, oh my. You can have fun. You really are.